My guest at this time is Richard Viguerie. He has long been active in the conservative movement, pioneered direct mail in political advertising and marketing. He is the chairman of conservativehq.com, and he's the author most recently of Takeover, The 100-Year War for the Soul of the GOP and How Conservatives Can Finally Win It. And my guess is he'll think they took one small step in that direction Tuesday evening in Virginia's 7th Congressional District, when for the first time, many believe, in American history, a sitting House Majority Leader was defeated in a primary for his own party's nomination, Eric Cantor losing by 12 points nearly to a very badly underfunded challenger, Dave Brat. And Richard, thanks very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Greg.
Well, obviously, there hadn't been much credible polling on this, but most people expected that given Cantor's power and his fundraising advantage and name recognition that he'd fairly easily win re-election. That didn't turn out to be the case by a long shot, and obviously a lot of people caught off guard by it, but there didn't seem to be any shortage of explanations why this happened, from the immigration debate to just people being fed up with Washington and all sorts of other things. What's your sense on why the voters in the 7th District decided to make a change?
Well, I was just telling Dave Brat, the successful candidate who beat Cantor a few minutes ago, Greg, I was telling him that I think what the voters were saying, they wanted to send a message to Washington. Whether their issue was amnesty for illegal aliens or the out-of-control spending by the Congress, over-regulation of people's lives, the IRS scandals, the Veterans Administration scandal, et cetera. Voters wanted to send Washington a message that we're unhappy with business as usual, and we just don't like the direction the country's going in. And the establishment Republicans have been too long in bed basically with the Democrats and in growing government. And this is just a huge wake-up call for Republican leaders, not only in Washington, but around the country. The voters are sick and tired of crony capitalism, and they're sending them a message.
What specifically was it that Cantor did, whether in his position as leader or just in the issues and positions that he articulated, that made him ripe for being the message on the bad end of this message?
Well, he did a lot of things. He voted for the bailout, for TARP, to do away with the sequester. He had many bad votes, but perhaps his number one failing was that he failed to lead. The American conservative voters want a lot of things from their politicians, but I think maybe at the end of the day, the thing they want most are fighters. They see strong leadership coming from the Democrats for their agenda, whether it's the president, the vice president, Harry Reid, Joe, Biden. They're just out there speaking and aggressively pushing the liberal Democrat agenda. And conservatives don't see that we have effective leaders. We have people who just are silent. They just don't seem to have a backbone, a spine. And so I think that was the number one failing above everything else from the standpoint of the conservative voters. They didn't see any fight in Eric Cantor.
Richard, it's been said by those close to Boehner. I don't know that Boehner has spoken publicly on this since last night's results, but they say that this does not change his intention to run again as Speaker, assuming the Republicans maintain the majority in this year's midterm elections. Others in the conference are suggesting it may be time for a change throughout the top of the leadership. How do you expect it to play out?
Well, I suspect that Boehner will hold on through this year and then step aside before the new Congress comes into office in 2015. There is a leadership vacancy now, and if the Republicans are thinking straight, they will bring a really articulate, aggressive conservative in to fill that position. Lincoln told us this, the Bible tells us, a house divided cannot stand. And right now the Republican Party is a house divided. And if they want to really do well in the 2014 election as well as 2016, they've got to unite the Republican Party and reach out to the base of the party and make sure that grassroots, limited government, constitutional conservatives are represented in the Republican leadership, and today they're not.
If you could name one name to be the next majority leader, who would you prefer?
A lot of support for Congressman Jeb Hensarling from the Houston, Texas area. He's very popular and a solid, principled conservative, and I wouldn't be surprised if conservatives begin to rally around Congressman Hensarling.
There had been some rumblings about that even before these primary results in Virginia, so we'll see if that idea gains momentum. Richard, obviously a major message sent in Virginia's 7th District last night, but on the very same night, South Carolina voters easily renominating Lindsey Graham in a very crowded field. He easily got more than the 50% needed to avoid the runoff. I know he was another senator given his votes on immigration and other things that had frustrated you and other conservatives. So just a couple states away, very different results. And it's been pretty tough sledding for other Tea Party candidates and other races against more established Republicans. So how do we read this all together?
Well, it's an excellent question, Greg. 90-95% of Tea Party successes have come in open races. That's how Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and others won, by running in open races. Very, very difficult to beat an incumbent. But in order to beat an incumbent, you must have a really high-quality candidate. The most high-profile incumbent that Tea Party candidates-type conservatives have won is Mike Lee in 2010 in Utah, beat a sitting senator, Bob Bennett, and he was a really quality candidate. So we haven't had, for the most part, when we're running against these really entrenched incumbents, we haven't had really quality candidates. In Dave Brat, we had a first-class candidate, and we have a first-class candidate running against an incumbent in Mississippi in a few weeks, Chris McDaniels, and I think he's going to win. And I think that by these two elections, Virginia and Mississippi, when two quality candidates ran against entrenched incumbents, it will send a message to high-quality conservatives out there, hey, let me take a chance against the king, so to speak, because it's been done before with success. So I think going forward, we'll see a lot more quality candidates step up to challenge incumbents.
Well, June 24th is the runoff in Mississippi for that race you mentioned between Chris McDaniel and the longtime incumbent Thad Cochran. Other primaries to come, and we'll see how it all shakes out. But obviously, major, major headlines Tuesday in Virginia. Richard, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Richard Viguerie is a longtime fixture in the conservative movement, pioneered the direct mail marketing aspect of political campaigns. He is the chairman of conservativehq.com, and he is the author most recently of Takeover, The 100-Year War for the Soul of the GOP, and How Conservatives Can Finally Win It. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.